I told her brother last night that I was praying about the message, what to bring, which one, because I want it to fit. But what I want more is the Lord to use it the way he sees fit in that. And what the Lord laid on my heart before church started last night was that we need to remember God's law. And then the brother last night, the last message was about God's law, the reading of God's law. And I thought, wow, Lord, that just really, to me, it confirmed the desire that he gave me to preach this message today. So if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, if you understand, Deuteronomy is Moses is doing all the talking in Deuteronomy. It's right before his death. They're there. It's right before Joshua takes over. And so Moses, the whole book of Deuteronomy, if you look up in Deuteronomy, it's a whole book about remember. Amen. Think back and remember is what he's telling the children of Israel. Remember some things. And there's some things here. You can go through the book of Deuteronomy and pull out these things that we need to remember. He's telling the children of Israel, but understand, when you look at why he's telling the children of Israel to remember, then we can take that and apply that to our lives and why we need to remember. So that's what we want to do this morning is look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and starting in verse 9 is where we want to start and read down through verse 13. He says here, "Only take heed to thyselves, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to follow me all the days, and they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, and ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone." And we're going to stop there for sake of time. But Moses is telling the children of Israel, you need to remember the giving of the law. Why? Why is he telling you? Think about how this law was given. Well, In my mind, I always thought, okay, that Moses went up on the mount, and he did go up on the mount. We'll go over to Exodus, and we'll read this, okay? He goes up on the mount, and God calls him up there and says, Moses, you come up here to me. And I think this is funny, because Moses goes up there to God, and what does God tell him right away? Go down. Yeah, go down and tell the children of Israel to not come up on the mountain. And Moses says, they can't, because you told me to put bounds up. And this part of this, turn, if you will, over to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. There's no point in me telling it and then going over and reading it. So Exodus chapter 19, and we want to start reading here in verse 16. That Exodus 19, verse 16 says, "And it came to pass the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp." Moses brought forth the people out of the camp. Where am I? I lost my place. "To meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish." And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And look at what Moses answers the Lord, because the Lord told him, you go down and you make sure that children of Israel and the priests don't break through. You make sure that they stay where they're supposed to stay. What is Moses' point of view of this? You think about Moses' mind, the way Moses' mind works. God says you don't. Therefore what? You don't. It's simple. You know, whenever the Lord called me to preach, called me into the ministry, he called me in the ministry in 2000, May of 2000. I had a lot to learn. One of the big things I needed to learn was called compassion. I've always been loving and caring, but people would say, well, you know, that's a gray area. And that confused me. What do you mean a gray area? God either said it or he didn't. It's black and white. You either do or you don't. That's it. But I've had to learn some compassion about people growing, people learning, because sometimes, it's not sometimes, people do grow at different speeds, if you will.
Right.
They do understand things differently. Sometimes it takes people longer than others. And that as a pastor, as a preacher, it's our job, it's our responsibility to have compassion on them and help them, not just demand that they know. That doesn't work. And I had to learn that. But here, Moses is thought in this. He says in verse 23, and he said unto the Lord, they cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Moses says his thought is not that they're going to cross that. But God's thought, because he understands the people of Israel, already aren't caring about God's law. They're not caring about his word. And you understand here, and you see through studying the children of Israel and Moses, how that they both look at God differently. We need to look at God the way Moses looked at God, and understand him the way Moses did. And God said in verse 24, and the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. So he went down and made sure that they would stay away from the mount, made sure they're staying where they're supposed to be staying, and had to reiterate to them again what God said. And then, so starting in verse 1 of chapter 20, we're not going to read all of these. God gives the Ten Commandments, right? In my mind, the way my mind always worked, I don't know where I got it from. I missed the whole thing about Moses coming down off the mountain. And so in my mind, he stayed up there. God gave him the Ten Commandments, and then Moses came down and he gave them to the children of Israel. So when I was reading through Deuteronomy and read through chapter 4, verses 9 through 13, I'm like, that's not what Exodus says. So I turned over to Exodus, and you know what it says in Exodus? The same thing it says in Deuteronomy. That God spoke, and the Israelites heard the voice of God, is what it says there in Deuteronomy. They heard the Ten Commandments from God's own voice. So, and then that intrigued me, because then I began to look at this and think, now, why was it that Moses is really emphasizing that the children of Israel remember the law? Because of where they heard it from. It's not Moses' law. They didn't hear it from Moses. They heard it from God himself, telling them, here's what you follow. Here's what you teach to your children. Here's how you live. Here's how you think. And you look at the Ten Commandments. There are some of those commandments that people don't see you following, but they're inside, right? There's spiritual commandments. There's physical commandments. And we follow those. He says here in verse 18 of Exodus chapter 20, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And look at what Moses tells them. Where did Moses get this from? In verse 20, Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God is not come, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." Moses, God told Moses, "Look, you bring the people to the mount, and I'm going to speak to them so that they will fear me." But they were afraid he's going to kill them. They didn't understand what God is doing. Moses understood. And Moses in Deuteronomy is telling the people, look, you need to remember where the law came from. Remember who gave you this law. Remember that. Why? Why is Moses telling the children of Israel all through the book of Deuteronomy to remember the Lord, remember the law. Remember, he goes on down through here. There's quite a few things that he tells them to remember. Remember the past sacrifices. Remember the deliverances. Remember all the things that, remember, you're wandering through the wilderness, his provisions for you. Remember. Why? Why is it so important that the Israelites remember what God's done for them? That were they in the, where? And that's what we will focus on today is why do the Israelites need to remember where the law came from? Why? Because it came from God. And I want you to think about what was about to happen. Moses was dying. He was going to die. Joshua was taken over. They were fixing to go into the land of Canaan. What kind of nations were they going to be facing? Look over in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Acts 13 and verse 19. Paul here is preaching, and I'm just going to read for time's sake. Just so you know, this message that I'm preaching here today, I've condensed it a lot, okay? Because it took three or four times to go through all of this, more than that, because I went through the whole book of Deuteronomy and remembering things, six, seven, eight messages there. But in verse 19 of Acts 13 says, "And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot." There were seven nations that God destroyed. And what Paul's doing, he's going through the whole account, the whole history of Israel. He's going through all of this and showing them, and God destroyed seven nations. Why? Have you ever looked at why God destroyed those seven nations? God tells us why. There's a lot of different theories, a lot of different ideas out there of why God destroyed these seven nations. I'm not going to get into those. I just want to show you what God's word says and why he destroyed those seven nations. And this has to go back to why Moses is telling the children of Israel to remember God's law. Remember where you got it from. Why? Just everything in the Bible that we learn, you first look at why it was given when it was given. What was going on at the time? What was happening? A lot of times we read the Bible and we want to say, okay, how do I take this and apply it to my life? Well, you can't jump there. That's the end. You have to first understand when God gives the commandments, when he gives us his word, why he's giving it, when he's giving it. What's going on in a situation? Who's saying it? What's going on in their life? What's going on in people's life that's hearing it? How are they understanding this? How are they seeing it? What's the thoughts going through their mind? The culture, those things. When you understand those things and why he's giving the word of God, what he intends for them to see in it, why they need it, now you're at the end and you can take that information and apply it to your life. Now, why do I need this? So the children of Israel needed to understand that God gave the law. They needed to remember that God spoke the law to them, that this is not man's desire for them. This is God's desire. The God that brought them out of the land of Egypt, the God that provided for them for 40 years in the wilderness. You think about it, going out and you not go. There's no grocery store. There's no way to go get food except for on, I almost said Sunday or Monday through Saturday, but it would be in Sunday through Friday, right? I have to stop and think about that a little bit. On Friday, then they'd have to go out and get twice as much food, right? Twice as much manna in the morning and twice as much quail in the evening. It's what they would do. And they'd have to do that. And that why? That's one of the things that Moses tells the children of Israel. Remember the provisions that God gave you. Where are they going? They're going into the land of Canaan. They're going to have battles. They're going to have war. They're facing seven nations that are horrible, adulterous, evil, wicked nations. And what does God tell them? Turn, if you will, to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. And we want to start reading in verse 1, Leviticus 18. I'm not going to read all of this. It's the whole chapter, pretty much is what it is. But I'm going to make some comments here through it. Leviticus chapter 1, and we want to start in verse 1 and read down through verse 5 here. Leviticus 18, verse 1. And he says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Amen. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." You let that verse 5 sink in. Our churches, our preachers, our pastors need to get a hold of verse 5. What does verse 5 say? "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them." It's not just something we do on Sundays. It's not just something that we come in here and we put on our suits and we put on our good clothes and we walk in and we have this idea and this standing of religious. That's not just for conferences and Sundays and Wednesdays. That ought to be our daily life. Amen. It ought to show forth. That's what Moses is telling the children of Israel. That's what God is telling Moses. Look, these are not just something you do. These are something that's in your heart. You do them. He says, "I am the Lord." So we could read all the way down through this chapter here. But I want you to think about some of just skim down through here. In verses 6 through 20. Well, let's start reading a couple of these verses. Verse 6, he says, "None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Thy nakedness of thy father and the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother and shall not uncover her nakedness." Now I'm going to stop there. Verses 6 through 20, every verse except for one has the word nakedness in it. You think about that. Every verse. These nations they were going into, these nations they were going to see these things happening, were wicked. Amen. They were adulterous. Amen. The one verse in verses 6 through 20 that does not have the word nakedness in it, it has the word adultery in it. These people were wicked and adulterous. They were bad. I don't know what other word to use there. Verse 21 says, And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. What does verse 21 mean? You understand, I hope you do, that passing through the fire to Moloch, what that is sacrificing your children, burning them to the God of Moloch. Worshiping him. Sacrificing your children. That's what these seven nations were doing.
That's right.
That's what was going on in these nations. Why is it that the children of Israel need to remember where the word of God came from, where the law came from. Because they're going to be faced with these. And did you know that there are, okay, we tell our children sometimes that, look, children, you don't need to drink. You don't need to smoke. You don't need to do drugs. You don't need to go to bars. You don't need to go to parties. You don't need to. We have a whole long list of things you don't need to be doing. And then the kids ask why. Well, because those things are bad. And they are. They are. But as a parent, when your child asks why, what is the first emotion that you feel? I don't know about you, but me, the first emotion I feel is panic. Because I had to learn that when your children ask you why, it's not always a challenge. Sometimes it's an inquiry of just, but why? Why are they asking why? You think about the TV shows, you think about the radio, you think about all the social media, all these things that they are bombarded with. What is it that all these have in common? Drinking, smoking, bars, carousing, adultery. I mean, they're bombarded by this. And all of these things, they make it look like all of this is where fun is at. What are the children of Israel going to face in these seven nations? You tell your children, don't do these things. But you know what they're going to point out to you? There are some good people that do these things. As far as human speaking, understand that. There's people that live moral lives, that drink and smoke and go to bars. They make good decisions. For the most, humanly, understand, I'm not talking spiritual. I'm talking physical, okay? They don't cheat on their husband and wife. They love their family. They teach their children to respect people. But yet they would never come to church. And they don't need the Lord. They tell you, I can worship the Lord just as well on the lake as you can in church. Your children are going to bring those people to you and say, but they're not bad. So always saying because bad people do these things don't work. It doesn't work. We need to show them that it's a stepping stone. It could lead you do something that is bad. And that it does not lead you. Those people that do those things, that make good moral decisions, where are they dying and going? That's what they need to see. Yes. So Moses is telling the children of Israel, you need to remember these things. Why? Because you're going to face these things. You're going to face people that are nice. You're going to face people, but they just left sacrificing their child. They burnt their child up. And then they'll invite you over for supper. You know, they're worldly. That's what Moses is telling them in verse 22 and 23. He says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. This is talking about other sexual sins. Verse 24, it says, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Every one of these nations, this is how they lived. This is what they did. So Moses is telling the children of Israel, look, you need to remember where you got the law from. Why? Why? So you can remember why you're standing. So you can remember, because when you're faced with these things, who here wants to offend somebody? Nobody raised their hand. I didn't raise my hand either. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to upset somebody. Who here wants to be disliked? Me neither. But look what we believe. What we stand for, what this word of God says, and what we hold to is true. Do you know what it is? It's offensive. It's offensive to the world. Why? Because they can't do it their way. They can't live their way and be accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't. They want to do it their way, and then tell you, as long as you're sincere in what you're doing, God will accept you. I heard a comeback to that one time, and I liked it. So I used it. A guy told me at work this. He said, well, you know, I believe your religion is good for you, mine's good for me, and as long as we're sincere in what we believe, when we stand before the Lord, he'll see our hearts and he'll accept us in what we believe. And it was right after 9/11, so I said, you mean the terrorists? They were sincere. God will accept them right in, and you'll be able to worship God with them. He got mad. He got upset about that. You're saying, what you're saying is just that. So is that what you believe or not? It's not what he believed. He just wanted it out so he could do what he wanted to do, and that's why people use that. God's word is offensive. And when we tell people, when we preach the gospel to people, when we tell them the truth of God's word, they're not necessarily going to like you. One of the men in my life that I disliked the most, his name was John. We called him Uncle John. He witnessed to me in Louisiana every service. Every service. But it wasn't a long, you know, some people think, well, you need to come up to somebody, you need to tell them how to be saved and all that. He didn't do that. He would come up to me after church, stick his hand out and say, and I had to look at him, look him in the eyes. And he'd make me look him in the eyes, and he would say, Paul, I'm praying for you. That was it. That's all he ever said. But I got wise to it, so I would go outside. Right after service, we had some doors right up here in front, and I would sit pretty close to a door so I could get out of that house, get out of the building, and go outside. Because I was sneaky that way. Well, Uncle John was a little bit more sneaky. He would come find me outside and shake my hand and tell me, I'm praying for you. So me, as a thinker that I am, our house was right next to the church building, the parsonage right there. So I went and sat on a screen porch. You know what Uncle John did? He come and found me. I found out later, after I got smarter and went to my room, he went to my dad and got permission to come in. He would come in the house and knock on my door. I'd open the door and he'd be standing there. I couldn't get away from this man. Every service. And then in the spring, in the summertime and fall, he would call my mom and dad up and he'd say, hey, would y'all like some tomatoes and cucumbers and squash? And yeah, we like them. Send Paul over. We'll have dinner. I'd go up there. I'd go to his, ride my bike, go to his house on the corner. There would be a Bible, a plate, and a plate. We would sit there and read scripture. I hated this man. I did not want to be around him. To see him frustrated me. And the mom would say, hey, Uncle John. I'm like, oh. I knew what was coming. If it wasn't Sunday or Wednesday, I was going to Uncle John's house. And we're going to be there and eat and listen. You couldn't go nowhere. Tell you what. I love Uncle John. Amen. He died before I was ever saved. But that's okay. One of these days I'll see him again. Amen. But one thing that impressed me about Uncle John, he didn't care if I liked him. I let him know without words that I didn't like him. He knew I didn't like him. He knew I didn't care for him. I ran from the man, and he chased. That's the way we ought to witness to people. Amen. I'm telling you that, and to me, to talk to people is hard. I struggle with it. But we need to get to the place that we don't see people, but we see souls.
That's it. Amen.
Because those souls are going to die one of these days. They're going to end up somewhere for eternity. What are you doing for them? We can't save them, but we can give them God's word. Look, Moses is telling the children of Israel, remember God's word. Why? Turn, if you will, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Well, let's read verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You look at this. God is telling us here in 2 Peter, we need to pay attention and remember where the word of God came from. Amen. Just as Moses is telling the children of Israel, you need to remember when you got God's word, when you got the Ten Commandments, that it didn't come from him. It came straight from the mouth of God.
Amen.
They heard it. When we read God's word, we need to remember it's God's word.
Amen.
It come from him. When Brother Jim, as your pastor, stands up here and preaches to you Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, you need to know and you need to remember it's not his word he's given you. It's the word of God that he's given you. Why? Look in 2 Timothy, and you know this scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that say? What was the first word of verse 16? All. So how much of the word of God, of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, did not come from God? Because there's a thing, well, see, that's the Old Testament. That irritates me to no end. It's still the word of God.
Amen.
It's still there. The Bible, the New Testament tells us that it was given to us for an example. We need to read it. It may be the Old Testament, but it doesn't matter. Where do you think they got the New Testament from? What Bible did they have when they wrote the New Testament? Hello? The Old Testament.
Amen.
So, and it says here that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Who here, at the end of the month, you do your budget? I take it you do your budget on the end of the month, first of the month, however you do your budget, right? Do you like being at a deficit when you do your budget? Do you get excited when you lose money that week, that month? Nobody here shaking their head yes. Y'all looking at me like, that's a dumb question. But if you have a surplus at the end of the month, that makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it? That's exciting. To be able, we paid all our bills, we put food on the table, everything, and we have money left over. That's a good thing, right? Do you know Word of God gives you a surplus? It's profitable. It means it adds to you.
Amen.
You like being added to. Right? We like that.
Amen.
The word of God adds to us. It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching. Now, these other two, for reproof. We're okay with that sometimes. Right? Sometimes. Because reproof sometimes can hurt. For correction, sometimes we read the word of God and it's not what we want to hear. For instruction in righteousness, we want to know how to be more righteous. We want to know how to be closer to the Lord. But to be closer to the Lord, sometimes there's some things need to be cut away. Sometimes we need to be refined. How is gold and silver refined? It's put through the fire.
Amen.
Sometimes we need to go through the fire, and the Word of God does that for us. Why is it that we need to remember that the Word of God came from Him? Just as the Israelites were facing seven nations that were wicked and horrible and adulterous people, what is out there? What is out there? You read through Exodus, you read through Leviticus chapter 18, and you know what you'll see today?
That's right.
It's what you'll see.
Amen.
We need to remember God's word and where it came from, because we're facing the same thing the children of Israel did.
Yeah.
We're facing that those nations. Look, if you will, very quickly here, and lastly, in Joshua. I think this is very relevant for today. Joshua chapter 1. And I want to read verse 5 down through here a little bit. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 says, "There shall not any man be able..." God is talking to Joshua. He's encouraging Joshua, because Joshua, Moses is now dead. He's died. And Joshua is fixing to take the children of Israel over Jordan into the promised land. Verse 5 says, God telling Joshua, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Then he says, "Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Now you look at this, what God tells Joshua. One, he tells them that as I was, no one's going to stand before you. No one's going to be able to challenge your leadership. No one's going to be able to challenge what you know, because as I was with Moses, so will I also be with thee. You think about how God was with Moses. You read those stories when Korah came before Moses. When Aaron and, I can't think of her name now. When Aaron, Moses' sister, I can't think, Miriam, thank you. When came before Moses and challenged him, Moses didn't do his own fighting. God did. God did. Moses prayed for him. Oh, and the people of Nate, how many times did God say, "Get away from them, I'm going to destroy them"? And Moses said, "No, you can't. You can't." God was with Moses. God tells Joshua, "I'll never fail thee nor forsake thee." Then in verse 6, he says, "Be strong and of good courage." Say, we need to be strong and of good courage, because what are we to be doing in this world today? We're to be leading people to the Lord. Joshua was fixing to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He's going to lead them. He had to be strong. He had to be courageous, of good courage. And you look, he says, I love this verse 6, but he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." He told them the end. He told them that the result, the end of it. Look, Joshua, you need to be of good courage, because you're going to divide the land for an inheritance of the people that I give unto them. You're going to go in and fight, but look, it's already done. You already won. How do you know I've already won? Because I've been there. I'm doing the fighting for you. God says, it's my command. It will be. But then look in verse 7. He says, "Only be thou strong." And he adds a word, "very courageous." Why? Look, we need to be today strong and very courageous. Why? For the same reason. We go out and we face this world. We face the sin that's in this world, the evil that's in this world, just as Joshua is going to be facing the evil that's in those seven nations. Look at why God tells him to only be thou strong and very courageous, that, or so that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. How was Joshua going to keep the commandments of God? By being strong and very courageous. How are you going to follow God's word in your life? How is it not just going to be something you do on Sundays and Wednesdays? The only way you can do that is if you're strong and very courageous. But where is that courage laid at? Where is that strength come from? You can't muster it up. It doesn't come from you. God is telling Joshua, you be strong and very courageous in me.
Amen.
That's why he told him the end result. What's going to happen at the end? We need to be strong and very courageous so that we can keep the Word of God, so that we can follow His Word. We need to remember where the Word of God came from. These men that stand up and preach, tell you, I'm sure they do exactly the same thing I did, pray and pray and pray about what message to bring. Because we want it to be encouraging to you. We want it to be something that's helpful to you. We want it to be. We pray for it to be. And I pray that this is something that will encourage you to stand, to be what God wants you to be. Look, this world needs mighty men of God standing for the truth. So many churches today are falling by the wayside. So many preachers today are compromising what they believe to get numbers in. We can't do that. We can't. We have to stand. And for our churches to stand, who needs to stand first? The preachers, the pastors. Just as that's why God is telling Joshua, you stand. You're the leading of them. Pastors are the under shepherds of the church. We're leading them. We need to stand and follow God's word so we can lead you through God's word. We need to. We need, and I know I ask my church and I ask you today, not only to pray for me, but pray for Brother Jim. Pray for these other pastors as we stand before our churches that we would be what we need your help. I didn't realize I was raised in a pastor's home and I didn't realize how difficult it is to pastor, but how rewarding it is. We need your help. We need your prayers to be able to stand and be able to follow God's word as God told Moses to, and as God told Joshua to. So if you're here today and you're lost, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way of salvation. Repent and believe upon him. Thank you, Brother Jim.